You are listening to Passport Talks.
All right, welcome to the Passport Talks, everybody. We're going across the Atlantic this time. You know, maybe you've been thinking about maybe Portugal's the place for you.
It's a hot topic right now.
Yeah, it is. Especially, I think, post-election in the U.S., a lot of folks are looking at Portugal with its wonderful climate and high quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty good visa options, actually.
It's a very attractive proposition.
It is, yeah. So we're going to do a deep dive today into that. We're going to talk about the advantages, of course, for U.S. citizens, the process of getting residency. We'll talk about some of the things you want to consider and what life is like in Portugal.
Yeah, and if you don't have a job lined up already, we should mention the Golden Visa and the D7 Visa, which are often the go-to visas for people who are just, you know, going there to live and not to work for a specific employer.
Right.
So what's driving you to want to move to Portugal? I think that's the first question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's start with just why Portugal? Why is it such a magnet right now?
Well, first of all, it's known to be very friendly to immigrants. In fact, in the Expat Insider Survey, it was ranked the 10th best destination worldwide. That was in 2023.
And that survey looks at quality of life, career prospects, financial stability, and how easy it is for expats to settle in.
Right.
So, yeah, very comprehensive.
Yeah. And immigrants make up about 6% of the population of Portugal. So clearly a pretty welcoming society.
Makes you feel more comfortable to move there too, right? I mean, that's a big factor for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And Portugal is considered to be a very safe country. In the Global Peace Index, they rank at 7th. That was the 2024 index, of course.
And they look at, you know, how safe people feel, what the crime rate is like, respect for human rights, political stability, access to weapons, terrorism,
yeah,
things like that. A whole bunch of stuff. And then there's the climate. Portugal has a mild subtropical climate.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost always sunny. They get like 300 days of sunshine a year.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that in the north, where the climate's a little bit different, it's influenced by the Gulf Stream, so you get very mild summers. And even in the winter, the temperature stays between like 4 and 10 degrees Celsius, so still pretty mild.
Pretty nice, yeah. All right, well, how do you actually move to Portugal? Well, as a U.S. citizen, you can stay there for 90 days without a visa. But after that, you have to have a residence permit.
Yeah, that's if you want to stay longer. That initial 90 days is, you know, more for tourism or exploring whether you want to move there or not.
Right. So there are a lot of different visas for Portugal, depending on your situation. And of course, you know, we mentioned the Golden Visa. There's the D7 Visa. There's also a digital nomad visa that's becoming pretty popular. There's a startup visa, a D2 visa for entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
There are student visas, of course, and a D1 visa if you have a job offer.
Yeah, it's a good idea to research, you know, which one applies to your specific situation.
Right. And like we said, if you don't have a job already, you might want to look into the Golden Visa or the D7 visa.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the Golden Visa. This is for investors.
So it's a residency by investment program. And there are actually a bunch of different options. You can choose to invest in Portuguese culture or art, at least 250,000 euro, or you can invest 500,000 euros or more in an investment fund or business or research, or you can set up a business and create at least 10 jobs in Portugal. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and a lot of people are choosing to invest in investment fund shares.
Yeah, that seems to be popular. Why do you think that is?
I think it just seems like a lot less work than setting up a business or getting involved in research. You just invest your money and somebody else takes care of it.
Right. And you can bring your family too.
Mm-hmm.
Your spouse, your kids, your parents.
Yeah, if your parents are financially dependent on you. And the minimum investment is usually the same, whether you bring your family or not.
Okay.
But you'll have to pay more in government fees if you have more people in your application.
Right. Makes sense. So how does this Golden Visa work? What's the process like?
Well, it takes about 12 months and it starts with a background check.
Okay.
So they look at your passport, you know, they check international databases to see if you're a criminal or anything.
Right. Due diligence.
Yeah. And then you have to decide what you're going to invest in.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to go to Portugal.
Right.
You'll get a NIF number, which is like a tax ID number, open a bank account, get a lawyer, things like that.
Right.
And then you'll have to make the investment.
Right.
So that might take a while, depending on what kind of investment you're making. If you're setting up a business, you have to register the company, you know, hire employees.
get an office, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. And then once you've done that, you can gather all the documents you need for the application, which could take a month or two because you might need translations. And then you and your family go back to Portugal, give your fingerprints and your photo. And then finally, the immigration authority, which is called AIMA, they review your application. And if it's approved, you pay the fee, you get your residence permit.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That sounds pretty straightforward, yeah. Well, what about the D7 visa?
So this one is for people who have, you know, money coming in from somewhere else.
Okay.
Like a pension or investments or rental income or royalties.
Passive income.
Yeah. Passive income, you have to have at least 870 euro per month coming in, which is, you know, the minimum wage in Portugal.
Okay.
And Portugal is actually becoming a very popular place to retire. Did you know that?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. Living Magazine ranks it in the top 5 countries to retire to.
Really? Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And if you're a couple, you need 1,305 euro per month because the spouse needs half of the minimum wage as well.
Right.
And then if you have kids, you need more. 30% of the minimum wage for each kid. And you also need to have a place to live. You have to rent or buy a place before you apply.
Okay.
So you get your residence permit for 2 years at first, and then you can renew it for 3 years at a time after that.
Right.
But you have to spend a certain amount of time in Portugal.
Right.
So in those first 2 years, you have to be there for at least 18 months.
Okay. So let's compare these two visas, Golden Visa and the D7. So with the Golden Visa, you have to invest money, right? And with the D7, you just have to have income.
Yeah, and you can bring your family with both. But your kids have to be under 26 for the Golden Visa and under 21 for the D7.
Okay.
The D7 is usually faster to get. It only takes about 6 months.
Okay.
And the Golden Visa takes 12 months.
Right. And with the Golden Visa, you only have to spend 7 days a year in Portugal, whereas the D7, you have to be there for at least, you know, half the time.
Yeah.
They both give you a residence permit for 2 years at first. And then you can renew it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And obviously the D7 is way cheaper.
Yeah, because you don't have to invest, you know, hundreds of thousands of euros.
Right, right. Okay. So after you have your residence permit for 5 years, you can apply for permanent residence. And there's a process for that. You have to have a place to live, no criminal record. You have to speak basic Portuguese. You might have to do an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you can apply for citizenship.
Yeah.
That takes about, you know, 7 to 12 months. And you have to be at least 18 years old, speak Portuguese, have a clean record, no threat to national security.
Yeah.
Pretty standard stuff. And your kids can become citizens, too.
Yeah, if they're under 18, they don't have to take the language test, I think.
Okay, cool. And you can have dual citizenship. You don't have to give up your U.S. citizenship.
It's good.
That's nice, yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about money.
Okay.
How much is all this going to cost, you know, to move to Portugal?
Well, first you got to think about the plane ticket, which can be anywhere from like $465 to $1,180.
Okay.
Depends on when you go and if it's a direct flight.
Yeah.
And then there's the visa fees. And then you need a place to live. So you're going to be paying rent or a mortgage and you need health insurance. So for a couple, you're probably looking at around 10,000 euro to get started.
Okay.
You know, that's just an estimate. It could be more, it could be less.
Right. And then what about living expenses in general?
Mm-hmm.
I hear that Portugal is a lot cheaper than the U.S.
Yeah, it is. I think consumer prices are about 50.4% lower in Portugal than in the U.S.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it depends on where you live.
Yeah, of course. So Lisbon and Porto are more expensive than other cities.
Right.
Especially for rent. And the Algarve can be expensive, too, especially if you're near the beach.
Right. So what would you say is a good monthly budget?
So if you're single, I would say between 1400 and 2300.
Okay.
And for a couple, maybe 2200 to 3500.
Okay.
Again, that's just a ballpark figure.
Right, right.
It depends on your lifestyle, you know, if you eat out a lot, if you travel a lot, things like that.
Okay. So where do most Americans live in Portugal?
Well, Lisbon is pretty popular. It's the capital. It's the biggest city, you know, good infrastructure, transportation, nightlife.
Yeah.
It's also a big hub for digital nomads. The weather's nice and it's still cheaper than a lot of other big cities in Europe.
Yeah. And then Porto is the second biggest city.
Yeah.
It's in the north. It's kind of the cultural heart of the country.
Yeah. It's in the Douro River Valley where they make great wine.
Right, right.
Lots of restaurants and cafes.
Nice. And then the Algarve is the southern coast.
Yeah. Beaches, beaches, beaches.
Like beaches, yeah.
Lots of tourists. good infrastructure, you know, marinas, golf courses, blue flag beaches, which means the water quality is really good.
Right. So that's where to live.
Yeah.
What about the culture in Portugal?
Oh, it's a very rich culture. You know, it's been influenced by the Romans, the Moors, the Christians. You can see it in the architecture, the art, the traditions. You know, if you go to Lisbon, you have to see the Belém Tower and the Jerónimos Monastery.
Right.
And then there's Évora, which has like a Roman temple. It's pretty amazing.
All right. So I guess everyone speaks English in Portugal, right?
A lot of people do, especially in the tourist areas.
Where?
But, you know, if you want to really experience the culture and connect with people, it's good to learn Portuguese.
Right. Yeah.
Even if you just learn a few phrases like bom dia, which means good morning.
Right.
Obrigado, or obrigada, which means thank you. Men say obrigado, women say obrigada.
Okay.
And por favor, which means please. It shows respect.
Right. And what about holidays and festivals and stuff?
Oh, there are lots of those. There's the Festa de São João in Porto in June.
Okay.
It's a big street party with music and dancing and fireworks.
Wow.
And then in Lisbon, there's the Festa de Santo António.
Okay.
Also in June. There are parades and music, and they grill sardines in the streets.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Cool. And what about the food?
Oh, the food is amazing.
Yeah.
They use a lot of fresh ingredients, especially seafood. You have to try the bacalhau, which is salt cod. They have a million different ways to cook it. And caldo verde, which is a green soup.
Okay.
It's made with potatoes and collard greens and chorizo.
Nice.
And then there's pastel de nata, which is like a custard part. It's really good.
Yeah, I've heard of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What about family life? You know, like what are families like in Portugal?
Families are very important in Portugal. They're very close. They get together a lot.
Right.
They respect their elders. They're very polite. You know, they still have some traditional gender roles, but it's becoming more progressive.
All right. What about the arts, like music and stuff?
Well, Portugal is famous for fado music. It's kind of melancholic, you know. It's about longing and sadness and love. It's a UNESCO World Heritage, actually. It's a big deal. And they have some great writers, too, like Fernando Pessoa and José Saramago.
Okay.
He won the Nobel Prize. And there are lots of museums and art galleries and theaters.
Nice. Yeah. And are they big sports fans in Portugal?
Oh, yeah. Huge. Yeah. Football is like a religion there. SL Benfica, which is a team in Lisbon, has the most members of any sports club in the world.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the Guinness Book of World Records. And their stadium, the Estadio de Luz, is like an icon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, surfing is popular too.
Right, with all the beaches.
Yeah. And some places have bullfighting, but it's not like the Spanish kind.
Okay. All right. Well, what about working in Portugal?
Well, it's a pretty professional environment. But, you know, they also value personal relationships.
Okay.
You have to build trust. You know, they're pretty formal at first, but they loosen up once they get to know you.
Right.
They're also very punctual. You have to be on time for meetings.
Right.
And it's helpful to speak Portuguese. You know, even if you work for an international company, it's good to know the language.
Yeah. And what about religion? Is Portugal a religious country?
Yeah, most people are Catholic.
Okay.
And it's a big part of the culture. You know, the holidays, the traditions, the architecture.
All right. And what are the big holidays in Portugal?
Well, they have Dia de Portugal, which is on June 10th.
Okay.
It celebrates Portuguese culture and history and the Portuguese diaspora.
Right.
And then they have Dia de Liberdade, which is on April 25th. It commemorates the Carnation Revolution in 1974 when Portugal became a democracy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Okay. All right. Well, let's say you have kids.
Okay.
What's the school system like in Portugal?
Well, kids have to go to school from ages 6 to 18.
Okay.
There's pre-primary school, which is optional.
Right.
And then basic education, which is primary and lower secondary, and then upper secondary.
Okay.
And they have a good reputation, especially for secondary education.
Okay.
And there are a lot of international schools that offer the IB program.
And then for higher education, they have the University of Porto, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best in Europe, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about healthcare?
Oh, healthcare is very good in Portugal. It's ranked 22nd in Europe, according to the World Index of Healthcare Innovation.
Okay.
And life expectancy is about 80 years.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. If you have a golden visa, you have to have private health insurance.
Right.
But there's also a national health service called the SNS.
Okay.
If you're a resident or if you work in Portugal, you can use it.
Okay.
And there's a social security agreement between Portugal and the U.S. So if you've worked in both countries, you might get some benefits.
Okay, cool.
And of course, Portuguese citizens have full access to the SNS.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What about jobs? Like, is it easy to find a job in Portugal?
It can be competitive, and the salaries are lower than in the U.S. or in a lot of other European countries. The average salary is about 1,500 euros per month.
Okay. But there are some sectors that are doing well, like IT, tourism, English teaching.
Right.
So if you're planning to move to Portugal, you should probably look for a job before you go.
Right. Yeah.
Or you could get the digital nomad visa and work remotely. There are some good websites for finding jobs, and you can always network with other expats.
Yeah. What about housing? Like, if you want to rent or buy a place, what's that like?
So rent is pretty expensive in Lisbon and Porto, especially in the city center. In Lisbon, a one-bedroom apartment might cost you between 1,200 and 1,500 euros per month.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Porto is a little bit cheaper, maybe 900 to 1,300 euros.
Okay.
And then, you know, other cities and the countryside are cheaper. Yeah. Leases are usually for 1 year. If you want to buy a place, you can get a mortgage. There are fixed-rate mortgages, variable-rate mortgages, mixed-rate mortgages. Ooh. Usually you have to pay it back in 20 to 30 years. And you can usually borrow up to 80% of the value of the property, sometimes 90% if you're not a resident.
Okay.
But you need to have a residence permit and a NIF number to get a mortgage.
So you said that it's good to learn Portuguese.
Yeah.
But is it really necessary? Like, can you get by with just English?
I mean, you can probably survive on English, especially in the touristy areas.
Right.
But if you want to really feel at home, you know, make friends, understand the culture, it's better to speak Portuguese. It shows that you care, you know, it makes things easier and it can help you get a better job.
Right. What about the internet? Like, is the internet good in Portugal?
Yeah, the internet is pretty good. I have good broadband coverage and most people have high-speed internet. They're rolling out 5G now.
Okay, so you decide to move to Portugal, you've sold everything, you have a visa.
Yeah.
How do you actually get your stuff there?
So you can ship your stuff by air or by sea. Air is faster but more expensive. Sea is slower but cheaper. You have to make sure your stuff arrives within 90 days of you arriving. And you need to get a baggage certificate from the Portuguese consulate in the U.S.
Okay.
And then your stuff has to arrive within 120 days of getting that certificate. Most of your stuff can come in duty-free if you've owned it for at least 6 months and you're not planning to sell it.
Okay.
But you can't bring in certain things like meat, dairy, or endangered species.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about pets? Can you bring pets?
Yeah, you can bring up to 5 pets. They have to have a rabies vaccination, an electronic ID, and you have to register them at the town hall.
Okay.
If you have a dangerous dog breed, there are extra rules, and birds might have to be quarantined or vaccinated, and you need a health certificate from your vet in the U.S.
And my driver's license. What about that?
So once you're a resident, you have 90 days to exchange your U.S. license for a Portuguese one. And it's a good idea to get an abstract of your driving record from the U.S. and get it apostilled because they'll probably ask for that.
Okay, good to know. So let's wrap up with the pros and cons. What are the good things and the bad things about moving to Portugal from the U.S.?
So the good things are healthcare is cheap and good. The standard of living is high. There are lots of different landscapes. It's easy to immigrate. It's safe, the weather's good, there's a lot of culture, it's cheaper than the U.S., and there are lots of expats.
Okay.
The bad things are sometimes there are language barriers, especially if you're not in a tourist area. It's hard to find a job, and the salaries are lower, and there's a lot of bureaucracy.
Right. Okay. We've talked about a lot today. Is there anything else people should know? Any common questions you get?
Oh, yeah. You know, some people complain that not all places accept American credit cards. A lot of Californians are moving there because they want a slower pace of life, a lower cost of living, and a different culture. Any U.S. citizen can move there if they get the right visa. You can stay as a tourist for 90 days. Portugal is very safe. To move there permanently, you need a residence permit, and after 5 years, you can apply for citizenship.
Right. So Portugal is pretty great.
Yeah, it's a really interesting place.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Old and new at the same time. People seem happy there.
You are listening to Passport Talks, a podcast on how to become a true cosmopolitan, how to travel the world without visas, create a safe haven for your family, and access top-notch education and healthcare with a second passport or residency.